Welcome back to the Old Switcheroo Podcast, where every couple weeks we watch a movie, half of it. Each of us watch half, and then we come together and put together the other half with help.
Yep. Sounds about right.
This week, why did we choose this movie?
I think we just both hadn't seen it.
We both realized it was a funny movie that neither of us had
not seen. It seemed important enough.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought it was weird or something. I knew that there was something interesting about it.
Yes. And if you've seen the title of the episode, it is American Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
Insert applause.
Yeah. I wanted to watch American Psycho last year, and then I never did.
I wanted to watch it for a while, because I do know some things. I know things about the book. Not the plot, though.
Okay. What do you know about the book?
Just that it was written by a gay man who might be slightly misogynist.
Oh.
And then the movie's directed by a woman, which is, like, the two crutches of excuse for when shitty straight dudes get into this movie.
Interesting. Yeah.
But it's, yeah, there's probably more to say on that later. There's a very specific viewpoint of this movie that gets easily lost on, like, pretentious dudes.
I see. Yeah. No, I...
Yeah. That's the only thing I know about it. But that's also kind of like Driving Miss Daisy being clearly about a man driving an old woman. This is also obvious from the front cover that pretentious dudes would love it. So
yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. I don't think that's a spoiler.
No. Yeah. I don't think I knew anything about it except that Christian Bale probably murdered people.
Yeah. I knew there was, like, a murdery thing.
Yeah.
Again, that also might be on the cover.
Bro, I think there's, like, blood splattered on him on the cover or something.
Something like that. We've spun the picker wheel. I spun it with the sound on for the first time.
Oh, you've never done it with the sound on.
Well, maybe I have before, but this time I had headphones in. So it was a really engaging experience. And it does a whole, like, for the full 9 seconds. It defaults to 9 seconds. And has options to go for much longer.
Oh, that's funny.
And then when it gets to your result, it goes, da-da, and confetti flies. Which, I've seen the confetti.
Pickerwheel.com. No, I love it with the sound.
For your picking needs.
There's no way it needs to go even longer than 9 seconds for 50-50.
No. I could see it if you were using, because there's, like, customization options on this. We're not actually sponsored by Pickerwheel. There's, like, customization options, and I think you can even purchase an option. I think it's somebody, like, at a raffle for, like, a nice non-profit event could potentially, like, commission a picker wheel for a couple bucks or something, and then, like, have, like, a nice one with colors, and they could have it spin for a full minute, like, during a speech or some shit.
No, that makes sense.
So I kind of get that.
No, yeah. But for the our two purposes... of us,
when we could just be flipping a coin to begin with. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Spun the wheel. I got American, which is the first half of the movie. Mm-hmm.
And I got Psycho.
Yes.
Which is the second half. You want to see what the Time News alert is?
Yep.
Prince Harry changed his official place of residence.
He moved?
Yeah, he moved. That's what I got from that. It can't mean anything more than that.
Okay.
Changed his living situation. Yeah, it just sounds like he moved.
Where was he living before? Who cares?
My castle.
This movie is available on Peacock at this time.
When I was annoyed because I had to watch an ad even though I was watching the second half.
I was wondering if it was going to make you do that.
And I was scared during the whole, like, 90-second ad because...
That it was going to be like that?
That it was going to be from the beginning.
Oh, right.
And I didn't even... Well, I could have just, like, looked at how long it was and got to the middle there, but...
I was having a problem where I started to watch it three different times and got, like, 30 seconds in and decided, like, this isn't the time to do this and had to watch 120 seconds of ads every time. And then I got scared it was going to be like that the whole time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
I didn't have any other ads. Just the one.
Well, they do have a function where when you pause, it shows an ad, which was driving me crazy. I did not like it. Not that I prefer... I guess I prefer that to having a movie interrupted.
Yeah.
But I didn't like how when I paused, it was suddenly like a Citibank billboard was in my bedroom. Especially because I was, like, trying to take a note. And, like, I would look up and be like, wait, what? Who? Where are they? Yeah. And then it would be Citibank.
Mm-hmm.
That's I didn't pause it so I could get advertised Citibank. Like, yeah. Have limits somewhere, people.
Yeah.
Like, we do not need this kind of advertising.
That's annoying.
Also, we've said it before. I get very targeted ads on my phone. You are wasting your time trying to advertise yeah. Citibank to me. I have a bank that I don't have any intention of leaving for my entire life.
Sorry, it's just funny for you to have really strong feelings about your bank.
I really do. I don't want another bank for any reason. Get off my screen.
Right.
I'm trying to see where they're at in American Psycho.
Yeah.
Also, same with laundry detergent. I'm never going to give a shit. I'm going to buy whichever one's on the shelf.
Or, like, different laundry sheets. Whenever there's different commercials for that, I'm like, well, who is this?
Well, the thing is, the people who care can find that.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be on their phone already.
Right.
But I prefer it to being interrupted.
It wasn't the worst movie watching
no.
streaming. It also was, like, less annoying than, like, watching something on Max. Which is annoying because if you're getting the name brand of Max, mm-hmm. I expect high quality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most annoying streaming service to navigate.
That's true. This is cheap Peacock.
It's less NBC.
Ads. It's less ads than Max.
Yeah.
They did also, I couldn't tell if this was classy or outdated, but they had like a QWERTY keyboard when typing, when looking for movies, instead of like an ABC. And that did throw me off multiple times. And I'm like, I know my way around a QWERTY keyboard.
Yeah.
So I was like, I wonder if people younger than me, like,
huh.
I know they have one on their phone,
yeah,
but like,
yeah.
Yeah. And then my last gripe about Peacock,
yeah.
It's a perfectly fine service. But I couldn't update the app on my Fire TV. I didn't know how. First time I opened it, it was like a little puss in boots.
Uh-huh.
Being like, oh, your app needs to be updated. And I was like, oh, that's cute.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't get it to update. And I ended up like opening Peacock like 4 more times. And every time it was just puss in boots. And I wasn't able to click anything. And by like the 4th time, I was like, this is not cute. Like, this is condescending. Can you take this seriously? I'm trying to update the app. Can you please take this seriously for 1 second?
I screamed the first time I opened up the Peacock because you decided to make the profile a terrifying photo of a shirtless ET.
Wait, the funny thing is, I did that like 6 months ago, and when I was choosing an icon, there like wasn't any that specifically spoke to my interests, and I was like, what's the next best thing? Would be startling Alexis if I ever share this with her.
Which yeah,
I didn't you got have me. Any plans to at the time, but it really finally came around.
Yeah.
And it's also, they display that icon huge. He's like bumping.
He's
like coming out of the circle too with his little light up finger.
Yeah.
And his heart is glowing.
His heart is glowing, which was the scariest part.
Yeah, it is ET like.
Yeah.
The only thing that can make it worse is 3D glasses.
Yeah. You got me.
I couldn't believe that bit finally paid off. Because
every time whenever you do open it, you have to look at him.
Yeah, I'm like, why do I have ET? And I'm like, oh, right, just in case.
No, it worked. So, the second half of American Psycho
mm-hmm.
is a real go-go. It's just, by the end, my heart was like racing, because it was the entire thing. It was so fast.
Yeah.
Also, it's not that long of a movie.
It's not.
It was like 47 minutes that I watched.
I plan on like watching the end of it completely. I'll say that now.
Yeah. The end was a lot. I don't know if I could watch the first half. I am interested. It was a good movie. I was just at the end.
Maybe later.
Yeah.
Like a year or two.
I was like, wow, that was crazy. What do you think happens at the end?
I assume he kills more people or at least some people. And I'm assuming he doesn't get caught. I'm assuming he gets, like, promoted or something.
Okay. So it's starring Christian Bale, first thing we see. And he goes up to some guy that I never see again for the rest of the movie.
Yeah, there's a lot like that. There's a lot that just moves like that.
He's, like, about to choke him from behind. And then the guy, like, kisses his hand. And he's like, oh my gosh, I love you. Or, like, I knew you had feelings for me or whatever. And then Christian Bale just, like, freaks out and walks away, and this is not the first time. Well, this is the first time in my half he says this, but he says it throughout the whole half. I don't know if he says it again, but he says, I have to go return videotapes. Really? I got the first one in the first minute.
I don't recall him returning.
Every time he leaves someone, and they're like, where are you going? He says, I have to go return some videotapes.
So I didn't notice that, but I wouldn't, like, if somebody, like, was like, no, that definitely does happen in the first half.
There's a point where I think I understand why, but it only makes sense if that's what he always says. He just, I don't know,
I'm gonna leave it on the table as possible. But I didn't notice it.
There was never, like, a huge moment about it, but it's vaguely referenced. But it's just every time he walks out of the room and someone asks him where he's going, he says that. And then he is talking to William Dafoe. Is William Dafoe in your half?
For just a hair of a second.
Okay.
Is William Dafoe also the one in Fault in Our Stars? There's, like, a random-ass adult man in Fault in Our Stars.
Doesn't he play, like, the shitty author?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, a pretty similar type. Deal. Yeah. He came in right at the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Just like Fault in Our Stars.
Well, he's like having lunch with him and Willem Dafoe's like trying to ask him about Paul Allen. And he's like, where were you the night Paul Allen died? And he's like, oh, I was on a date with Victoria, whatever. And then he's like, well, that's not what I have in my notes. And they kind of go back and forth and like he can't keep his story straight. And he's like, okay, well, just figure out whatever the day is. So it'll make my job a lot easier. And he's like, all right, I would love to. And then Willem Dafoe's just like, okay. And he just walks away and just kind of accepts that from him. Even though he just clearly can't keep his story straight. But I don't really ever realize who Willem Dafoe is at any point.
But, like, you know he's not, like, a friend.
Yeah, right. He seems like an investigator of some sort. But he's never, like, properly introduced in my half. He's just... Patrick is just having sex with some girl, just cuts him, like, having sex with some lady, and then he's, like, gets done, and he's, like, getting dressed, and she is talking about how she's getting married soon, then he's like, oh, well, gotta go, return some tapes, and, oh, they keep talking about, like, well, if I don't hear from you by Easter, which never means anything again. But then he goes to a party. He's clearly just some, like, hotshot guy in, like, New York City. And he goes to some party. I thought I saw Paul Rudd there, but then he never comes up again. I was wondering if Paul Rudd was in your house, your half.
Definitely not.
Then there's just a bunch of montages of him doing a bunch of drugs for a while, and nothing really happens. Back to his office, and he's doing his crossword puzzle, and all of the things he's writing in just say meat.
Meat?
Like M-E-A-T. That's just all of the answers.
He just loves meat.
I didn't see any of the questions, so I don't know if maybe those were all right. It was like an April Fool's crossword.
Well, I bet he's got meat on the mind.
And then his assistant, Jean, walks in, and she, like, does an assistant thing. She's like, oh, you have a lunch tomorrow, or whatever. And then he's like, why don't we go to dinner? She's like, okay, yeah, sounds great. And he's like, where do you want to go? And then she, like, he's like, I can get us in anywhere. And then she just, like, names some place.
Do you know the name?
The name, Dorcia. She says, I want to go to the Dorcia. He's like, okay. Then he makes a call, and he's like,
oh, no.
Two people at 9 p.m. On the other end, you can hear, like, no, we're totally booked. And he's like, all right, two people at 9 p.m.? Wow, sounds great. And then they're like, no, we don't have space. And he's like, all right, sounds good. We'll see you then. And then he hangs up, and then Jean's just staring at him. He's like, what? She goes, you didn't give a name. He's like, oh, they know.
Jean's a secretary.
She and they're like, knows. You know me there. He's like, they know me there. She's like, okay. They meet back at his place for drinks. Mm-hmm. And she's just, like, sitting on the couch, and he's just walking around the whole time they're, like, talking. He's just pacing around in his apartment. And then he opens up a freezer, and there's a head in there. And then that's kind of, like, the only body part I see for a little bit. But that was the first thing that was like, okay, he is a killer. Or up definitely to something. Is. But, and then he's like,
the first thing.
In the freezer was just like that and a sorbet. And he's like, you want some sorbet? And she's like eating, and I thought he was gonna like poison her or something with that. He like opens up a cabinet, he like grabs duct tape, and he's like just grabbing different things that you think, like, he's gonna kill her with. And then eventually he gets a nail gun. Mm. And she's sitting on the couch, like, talking, and he, like, holds it up to the back of her head while he's talking to her. And then someone calls and leaves a message on his voice machine. What is it called? The voice message thing. It's some girl who's, like, flirting with him. She's like, when are you gonna come over? Whatever. Something like that. And then Jean's like, I should probably leave. And he, like, really slyly puts down his nail gun. And he's like, she goes, do you think I should leave? And he's like, I think if you stay, I might hurt you. But I think she thinks emotionally.
Right.
And he thinks he's gonna murder her with a nail gun.
That's the difference between men and women.
Yeah. Oh, he also starts telling her, like, Ted Bundy facts while they were talking. She didn't know who Ted Bundy was. Mm-hmm. Which is, maybe you should know your serial killers. Because if someone just starts spewing out Ted Bundy facts.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, yeah, it is that maybe wise to be able to identify when someone's being weird.
Yeah. That's not a normal thing.
Like, if somebody was like, yeah, that's a really good point. Especially in, like, a date type situation.
Right, if you're alone in some...
With your boss.
Yeah.
And he starts talking about Ted Bundy. Mm-hmm. You should know.
Yeah, while he was holding a roll of duct tape. You know? Then he's back with Willem Dafoe. And he's asking him more questions about where he was when Paul Allen died. He's still just not keeping his story straight. Like, he's just lying. And he'll ask Willem Dafoe, like, wait, where was Marcus? And he's like, Willem Dafoe's like, telling him what his investigation has shown him. He's like, giving it to him. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they just kind of go back and forth like that for a while. And Willem Dafoe's just believing whatever he says. Willem Dafoe's like, well, it would be crazy if one of his friends killed him anyway, right? Also, it's important to say that every time he's talking to Willem Dafoe, it's just the two of them. Mm. There's never someone else talking to Willem Dafoe.
Wait. Is Willem Dafoe a figment of his imagination? Is that where we're going with this?
Then he's, like, driving, and he runs into what seems like an escort. And she's like, no, fuck you, like, I had to get surgery last time. And then he picks her up, he gives her a bunch of money, and he's like, your name's Christy, we're gonna go meet my friend Elizabeth. And then they go back to an apartment, and she's just, like, pissed to be there. She's just playing a part. And he's talking to this other lady, Elizabeth, and he's, like, proposes a threesome. Oh, he also clearly puts drugs in their wine. This is after he tells Elizabeth that Christy is his cousin? And nobody questions that. Then eventually the two girls start, like, making out or whatever. And then there's just a threesome.
I'm so confused.
About what?
Nothing you could possibly answer. Nothing you could possibly answer. Like, were those the same girls?
I also, like, I don't know what her name was. I just know that in this scenario, he told her to be called Christy.
I know, I'm mad at him, mostly. I'm mad at him for his misdirection and his lies.
So then they're, like, having a threesome, and then he starts just, like, going in on Elizabeth. Christy, sneaks away. She had to have been an escort that was previously introduced. Like, they clearly knew each other. It zooms in on, like, blood coming in through the sheets, and Elizabeth notices, Christy notices, and then Elizabeth starts screaming, and then Patrick pops up, and there's blood all over his face. It's also unclear what happened.
Is it menstrual?
I don't know.
Is that what they're saying?
I don't know if it's menstrual. I don't know if he bit into a vagina, like...
Right, because he might.
I don't know what happened.
I gotta watch the end of this movie.
It's never clear what happened there. It might be menstrual. Also, but the lady seemed a little too old, to be honest.
To be just flowing menstrually?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Christy gets scared because he's cut... It looks like... something went wrong, blood.
Okay, yeah.
I think he was hurting her.
Right.
So then Christy starts running through the apartment, and she's running through this complex, like, screaming bloody murder. And then he comes out of nowhere with a chainsaw, and he's chasing her down.
I'm gonna cry.
At one point, he, like, traps her into the restroom, and he starts biting on her leg, which is what makes me think he did something to Elizabeth with his mouth. Also, they were just having sex. Like, he didn't have a weapon.
Does this remind you of anything? I can't wait to tell you. I'm literally crying. Please keep going.
Okay, so he, like, bites Christy's leg, and then she kicks him away, and he gets really pissed. And he's like, don't kick me in my fucking face. He's like, that's too far.
This movie's so funny, I swear to God.
So then there's this shot where it's at the top of... Also, it becomes clear later, he just has a bunch of different apartments. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you saw this apartment, but this one from... This is also apparently where... No, I don't know. No, this is different from the other apartment. I don't know if... I'm so confused. Okay, there is bodies in this apartment, because also I forgot Christy tried to hide in a closet and saw all of the bodies, and that was part of why she was so scared. Mm. So anyways, they're on this staircase. It's like a triangular spiral staircase. So from this top, you can see all of the, like, stairs going down.
I fell down one of those once. Those staircases suck.
Yeah. But it's like one of those big ones. So yeah. She's running down, and he's just sitting there, dangling the chainsaw, laughing. And I'm like, there's literally no way he can nail this.
Right.
And then he
By
does.
Dropping a chainsaw?
He dropped it. He dropped it and hit her, like, straight through the back. And then, like, the next scene cuts to him, like, at dinner with someone. You know how at Macaroni Grill, they have, like, the paper on top of the thing so you can, like, draw?
Yeah.
He's doing that. But he's drawing a woman with a chainsaw through her back. She's like, at this really nice restaurant. Oh, that's much nicer than Macaroni Grill.
Right.
Not sure if they have the same tablecloths. Or piece of paper, I should say.
Like, maybe he shouldn't have been doing that.
Yeah. But he's talking to Reese Witherspoon, who is a different lady than he was talking to in the beginning. And she's talking about getting married. So he has a trend. I was very surprised to see Reese Witherspoon. Willem Dafoe, makes sense.
He was in Fault in Our Stars.
Yeah. I just expect him to pop up every once in a while.
I didn't know that Reese Witherspoon had this, like, for the year 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know she had this under her belt. He breaks up with her, and she's really upset. He leaves, and she's like, where are you going? He says, to return videotapes. and then we cut to the Twin Towers.
Okay. Bummer.
Does he work in the World Trade Center?
Does he? He's a finance guy. He might.
I think he does. He might
work in the Twin Towers.
Dude, there was a shot where he was, like, walking through this area. And I was like, I've been here. I've been to this area. It was the memorial.
But it
didn't But I was be picturing it as the It was like a night shot. And I've been to, like, that area at night. And I specifically, like, thought about that memory. And I was like, oh, wait. It looked a little different. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Willem Dafoe, I think, has another appearance eventually. Or no, that might have been the last one. So then he goes to Twin Towers, he goes to an ATM. Just looks like a normal ATM to me. Uh-huh. He puts in a card, and then there's a little cat beneath him, like just walking by, just a stray cat. And then he looks at the ATM, and it reads, give me a stray cat, or feed me a stray cat.
Oh, okay.
So then he picks up the cat, and he's holding a gun to the cat, and then some old lady walks up, and she's like, don't do that, and then he shoots her. I don't think he shot the cat, because then a cop shows up.
Oh.
There's a cop, like, a cop shows up outside of the
building. There are cops in this story?
And they start chasing him, and he starts, like, running down, like, hitting all the cars, and I thought he was trying to, like, steal a car, but I think he was just creating a distraction. So all the car alarms are going off, and he, like, cuts through an alley. And then, like, three cop cars pull up, corner him, and there's, like, a shootout. It's him against, like, five cops, and he wins.
Okay.
Also, at one point, he shoots the cop car, and it just explodes. There's a huge fire. And he looks at his gun confused, and I'm like, what's in his gun? But then, whatever, he gets away. Then he's running. He goes through, like, some office building. There's, like, a reception man. And he's like, oh, burning the midnight oil, Mr. Smith. And then he shoots him dead. And then he, like, goes out, like, a spinning door, like a revolving door. And as he's, like, goes in the first door, a janitor walks out of the elevator. And he keeps going in the revolving door, comes out just to shoot him, and then keeps going. No. Really. When I saw the janitor come out, I was like, oh, please keep going. And then he did.
So he did, like, a rotation and a half.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then he goes into another office building, and there's just, like, helicopters. There's like somebody's looking for him.
Yeah.
And he goes into his office. He like literally signs in. They're like, "Hey, Mr. Smith," and he signs in this time. This is where it starts to get confusing. This is where I'm starting to think, is none of this real? It's just not making any sense. But he gets up to his office. It's pitch black. There's like helicopter lights like coming into his office, and he picks up his phone and he calls his lawyer. He's like, "You're my lawyer. I need to tell you." And then he just lists off every murder he's ever done. I killed Paul Allen with an axe to his face. I fucking did it. And he's just like going on. And then he's like, "You're my lawyer, so I just feel like you should know." And then he hangs up. And then the next day, cuts to the next day, he's just taking a shower, puts on the suit, just walking around. And he goes to like some apartment viewing. And he asks like the realtor, he's like, "Isn't this Paul Allen's house?" And she's like, "Did you see the post in the New York Times?" Or I don't know. They go back and forth. And she kicks him out because he's being weird. He, like, goes and finds a payphone and is, like, crying. And he calls Jean. And he's like, "I can't come into work today." And she's like, "Okay, you have a lunch meeting with whoever." He goes to the lunch meeting. And these guys are just sitting there acting normal at this bar. And then he sees his lawyer. And he goes up to him. And he's like, "Hey, did you get my message?" And he's like, "Oh my gosh, that was you. That was hilarious. So funny." And like, he gets so mad. He's like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "Oh no, that was really funny. So you got me." And they go back and forth. He's like, "You're my lawyer. That was true. All of that is true. I killed Paul Allen." And he's like, "All right, dude, shut up," basically. And then he's like, "Why are you not listening to me? Why are you not taking this seriously?" And he's like, "I had dinner with Paul Allen twice 10 days ago in London." So we find out Paul Allen's not dead. And then while this is all happening, Jean is like, "What the fuck is going on?" So she like goes through his desk and finds all of these, finds like these journals where he's like scribbled and like drawn all of these like murders. The only mention of the tapes was when he called his lawyer. He said he had a lot of tapes of the murders and he makes girls watch them. And then there's just, like, a montage of him just existing. And he's like, "This confession means nothing." And then it just ends.
I knew he didn't get caught.
No, I don't think...
You don't think he did any of the murders?
No, I think they were all hallucinations.
He was just fantasizing?
Yeah, I think when he was drawing. I think he's just psych.
Also, he's on drugs.
He's on a lot of drugs. And I think when he, like, dropped the chainsaw on the girl... And then the cut to, like, just the drawing of the girl. I think it was just him doodling. I think he's just a crazy person.
He's just got a lot going on in the brain.
Yeah.
Okay. That seems like a cheap ending to me. Maybe it's better when you watch the whole movie.
Yeah. I was very confused.
I feel like it was all a dream.
I'm pretty sure it was a dream. Because if this guy didn't know that Paul Allen died... Then maybe Willem Dafoe... The Willem Dafoe stuff was weird, because, first of all, he was an idiot. Worst investigator to ever exist, if he was an investigator.
No, yeah, that's true.
I don't know. He was too... Did you ever see
Paul Allen?
Nope, but I read his name in the credits.
Yeah, I bet you did.
I sure did. I'm pretty sure none of it was real. Also, there's no way he wouldn't have gotten caught with how big the scene was at the end.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, that's
kind of how I think when he, like, went on that spree at the end and he, like, killed that reception guy, but then he walked into another building and, like, just signed in, I think that was, like...
Letting the audience know.
Yeah.
Like, this is all garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the multiple apartments were the apartments of his victims, but now that it's all a hallucination, then I don't even know.
That's a good point.
Because, like, he technically would have had access to, like, Paul Allen's apartment and his own apartment and whoever
else's
apartment. If he was doing all those murders. But also, but maybe he wasn't even fucking the women.
Right.
And he's just daydreaming.
Just daydreaming.
He's just a virgin. What the people on Wall Street daydream about, which seems right to me.
Because when he went to the realtor He's like, this is Paul Allen's apartment.
Right.
And she was like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I also... Oh, right. So he could just...
She was just showing an apartment. It was just an empty apartment. He's like, I want to know what happened here. And she was like, you gotta go.
But I think part of why it could be, like, why it's an interesting story is that for the first half of the movie, it's kind of believable that a guy with this much, like, financial clout could just get away with this.
I wasn't surprised he was getting away with it.
Right, until it, like, literally would take him doing a full spree with cops.
Yeah.
That's when you realize that he's not getting away with it.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear about the first half?
Sure.
Okay, so the opening credits start with, like, it looks like blood dropping or something. Yeah. But then really quickly it becomes that they're, like, plating a fancy dish at, like, a nice bar or restaurant.
Yeah.
With, like, a red... who knows what, drizzle on the plate. I noticed there's someone named Justin Theroux in this movie. Isn't that the guy from Canada?
Yeah, I had the same thought when I saw his
name. Isn't that his actual name?
I'm pretty sure that's his actual name.
So that, we keep that on the table. Maybe the Prime Minister of Canada is in this movie. I couldn't tell if it was a bar or a restaurant, but it doesn't really matter to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody at the table is, like, talking about how this one guy who works with them is Jewish, and that's, like, why he has any power in finance. And then Patrick Bateman is like, hey, guys, with the anti-Semitic remarks, like, he takes this, like, hyper-liberal, like, super performative stance about being anti-Semitic.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, ah, oh, Patrick, or ah, oh, Bateman, you, like, you're dating that lawyer, or whatever, like, a ACLU lawyer. That's why you're talking like this. And they all just have, like, a good chuckle about it.
Yeah.
Later on, Bateman's, like, at a club. And he tries to use an expired drink ticket. And the waitress, like, doesn't let him use it. And then the drink ends up costing $25.
Mm-hmm.
In the year 2000.
I was gonna say.
And he says to the waitress, when she turns her back to pour the drink, something about how he wants to murder her and play in her blood. But she doesn't react to it at all. And I thought, oh, maybe it's just a loud nightclub. Maybe right. He didn't say it out loud and was thinking it. That was my first indication of, like, maybe he just has violent thoughts.
Yeah.
But it was kind of nothing, also, at the same time. Because he didn't actually do anything to her. Then he's at his house in the morning. And I have actually seen this sequence before. But he's at his house in the morning, getting ready. And he's going through, like, his entire skincare, hair care routine in, like, extreme detail of all the products that he uses. And, like, it's, like, him taking a piss while he's, like, looking at his own reflection in this, like, Les Miserables poster.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's just, like, going on and on, like, I use this gel scrub and this, like, facial lotion and this moisturizer and this eye balm. And then he's, like, doing this, like, peeling face mask.
Is he, like, talking to the camera?
It's, just a regular voiceover.
Okay.
When he's doing the peeling face mask, I was like, oh, this is, like, a good, like, queer-coded movie. Like, to have, like, a second face type bullshit. Like, yeah. I was like, oh, this is actually a good movie. Oh, when he's peeling the mask, he also says something like, what people don't know is I'm doing all this stuff, but I'm not there. Mm-hmm. I'm not there. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. You seem very safe to be around. No, it starts blasting the song Walking on Sunshine, and then it's him, like, walking through his office, which I've also seen as a meme. There's, like, a meme of Patrick Bateman wearing headphones that people put random songs over.
Okay. I think I can picture that.
But it's him walking through the office with Walking on Sunshine, blasting. He's talking to his secretary about canceling everything in the day. Then he asked her to plan something, like, oh, on Thursday night, dinner for two, blah, blah, blah. And she was like, oh, do you have a date? And he's like, oh, no, I don't. And then he tells her to, like, not wear that outfit again, and that she should be wearing high heels.
Is this Jean?
Jean, yeah. And he, like, says all this weird shit to Jean about how she should be, like, dressed more sexy instead of wearing, like, her regular outfit.
When he asked her out, he was like, your outfit's fine. And then before she walked away, he's like, make sure you go home and change before our date.
Wait, he told her to change?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he's, like, weirdly controlling towards Jean. I'm like, okay. So he's still doing, like, a Mad Men thing, even though, whatever. Oh, cut to him in, like, a taxi with his fiance, Evelyn, played by Reese Witherspoon. She is, like, going on and on about something, and he has his headphones on the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And she, like, taps him on the shoulder at one point. It's like, aren't you listening? I want to get married. And he's like, what? I don't get it. She's like, why don't you quit your job? because you clearly hate it and it's like not fun. And he said, because I want to fit in. And I laughed out loud. And then I was like, oh, it's a funny movie.
It's pretty funny.
That, like, that was the moment where I clicked, where I was like, oh, we're making fun of this guy so hard. He literally, like, snapped at her like a child and was like, because I want to fit in. Like, oh, okay. Then we are at dinner. Like, Evelyn has these goth cousins at dinner for some reason. And then there's, like, a bunch of, like, businessy people there as well. And Patrick Bateman explains that there's, like, affairs between everyone at the table, including his personal affair with this girl, Courtney, who is somebody else's fiance, but that he likes regularly messing with because she's always on psychotic medication.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, sometimes she's on lithium, sometimes she's on Xanax, and, like, she's, like, always just nodding off. And he loves that. But then when they ask him a question about something, I don't even remember what the question, I just wrote liberal BS here. Because he does that, like,
he whole, loves ranting.
Just, like, and with his, like, cheesy, huge smile.
Yeah.
And, like, that super fake bravado. It's, like, really impressive.
When the two girls were making out in his apartment, he was just ranting about Whitney Houston's first album.
He loves ranting. He loves it. So I've loved that. So, he starts walking down the block. He sees a lady walking and, like, turns to closely follow her at night.
Uh-huh.
And it shows him, like, crossing the street with her at a crosswalk. And he's, like, smiling. She's clearly put off by it. And then it cuts to him at the dry cleaner holding a sheets that are just covered in blood.
Mm-hmm.
Just open at the dry cleaner. And the people at the dry cleaner were yelling at him in not English about how they couldn't take the sheets. And he was getting pissed off, and he's like, why can't you take them? And then he runs into somebody that he knows at the dry cleaner. Victoria, I guess. And he's like, Victoria, she's like, what's going on with your sheets? And he's like, oh, I spilled cranberry juice on them. Can you get them washed? I have things to do. And he like hands them off to her and leaves. Which I was like, okay, if he's so bold about, like, because in my head, I'm like, he killed the girl he saw on the street last night.
Yeah.
And he knows he can get away with just walking around with bloody sheets because he's an exec on Wall Street. Cool. It's back at his apartment. He has porn playing on his TV. And he is talking to Courtney on the phone about how much, like, the guy that she's, like, engaged to or dating just sucks and he's the worst. And he, like, wants to hang out with her again. And he says that he will call Dorcia to get a table.
Mm-hmm.
He calls Dorcia to get a table. And they literally just laugh. He's like, do you have reservations for tonight? And he says, no, I don't have a reservation. And the person on the other line is just, like, an exhausted maitre d' who is just cracking up and hangs up on him. Then we're in the taxi on the way to Dorcia. Oh, also, I did know this about the movie, but I forgot, / book. Patrick Bateman is obsessed with Donald Trump. So they're, like, in the taxi, and he's like, oh my god, is that Donald Trump's car? He, like, loves Donald Trump, idolizes Donald Trump.
That's actually so funny.
It's so funny. Like, in the world we live in, it is so funny that Patrick Bateman, the murderer, or wannabe murderer, loves Donald Trump. Courtney's in the car, and she's like, how'd you get a reservation at Dorcia? Blah, blah. She's, like, totally nodding off, and he's like, just take some more lithium.
Take more lithium?
Yes. They get to the restaurant, and she's like, are we at Dorcia? And he says, yeah. And then he holds up the menu, and it clearly has the name of a different restaurant on the back.
Mm-hmm.
But she comes to at the table from being in the car, and then she asks that. Then it's like, that's all we get of that? I assume she fucking nods off and is done. But the next day at work, because it's just cutting around, some guy named Lewis, who's obsessed with him, who just copies him. Because also, all the guys dress the same. They're all obsessed with, like, Valentino suits. To me, this felt very much making fun of the gayness of being straight in this world.
Okay.
Because they're, like, just obsessed with the fashion of it all. All of them. Lewis compliments that he got, like, he's like, I heard that you went to Dorcia with Courtney. And he's like, yeah, I got a reservation. And Lewis thinks that's so fucking cool. Then Paul Allen walks up to him. Played by Jared Leto. I knew Jared Leto was in this movie and did not recognize him.
Really?
Yeah. Jared Leto, first of all, kind of a chameleon. You can kind of put him in different hair and glasses and it kind of works.
Well, then when I saw his name on the credits, I was like, did I see him?
Yeah.
It, like, kind of works. Yeah.
So Jared Leto walks up to him and...
But I didn't. You
definitely
think so.
Did not. It would have ruined the illusion that he was dead sooner. But, so Jared Leto's name is Paul Allen, and he mistakes Patrick Bateman for this guy Marcus something. And Patrick Bateman's like, well, I get why. We both have an affinity for Oliver Peoples' glasses and Valentino suits. And, like he's just obsessed with all this. And, but the thing is, Jared Leto is also dressed like him and Marcus. Like, they're cutting back between the three of them. They all look exactly the same. And he starts playing along as if he's Marcus. Because Paul Allen's asking him, like, how's your wife? And he's like, oh, my wife. Then everyone is like, Paul Allen is like, I've got reservations at Dorsia on Friday night, so I can't hang out with you, Marcus. And everyone in the office hears that he has Dorsia reservations on Friday night, which is even more impressive than the fact that Patrick Bateman had them last night.
Mm-hmm.
And it just makes his blood boil.
Mm-hmm.
He is so pissed because Paul Allen's so much cooler than him. They start comparing business cards. Paul Allen leaves his business card. And Patrick Bateman, like, wants to know who has the best one. So one of them's like, oh, well, mine is eggshell. And, like, well, mine is the color of bone. And, like, mine has this embossing. And they go on and on about these business cards that all look pretty much exactly the same. Paul Allen's card is so gorgeous when it finally gets turned around, I guess, that Patrick Bateman literally starts sweating. And someone asks him if he's okay.
Wow.
Because Paul Allen has such a beautiful business card. Then we're in an alley at night. There's a homeless guy with a dog. Patrick Bateman, well-dressed, obviously rich, walks up to him and is like, hey, why don't you have a job? He says, oh, I lost it. And he's like, oh, well, why don't you get a new one? Blah, blah. And then he starts getting down this, like, really fucked up line of, he's being a dick. He's being a super dick. He's like, well, you should have gotten a job. I'm going to help you out. And then he stabs him to death and curb stomps his dog.
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
At some point, he has a body bag. I'm just going to say it now because I don't remember when it happens. I don't know if I wrote it. He has a body bag that he is loading into the trunk of a taxi. It is clearly a person in a bag. And he runs into Lewis on the street. And Lewis is like, hey, I recognize you. What are you doing? He doesn't ask what he's doing. No, he says, what kind of bag is that? It's really nice.
It's so annoying.
Cut to Bateman getting a massage. I'm just, like, scared he's gonna kill everyone he comes into contact with at this point.
Yeah.
He's got a voiceover going about how he has no emotions and how, like, his mask of sanity is gonna slip. He's, like, in a tanning booth.
Mm-hmm.
Then they're at a Christmas party. Courtney is there, but Patrick Bateman's there with Reese Witherspoon, Evelyn. He runs into Paul Allen there and agrees to have dinner with him as Marcus because Paul Allen still thinks he's Marcus. They go to a restaurant that's, like, mostly empty, like, some Tex-Mex place. It's not a nice restaurant. Like, Paul Allen's not impressed. Patrick Bateman gets excited because he thinks he sees Ivana Trump sitting at a table. It's not Ivana Trump. He gets Paul Allen super drunk. Paul Allen, and then he asks him about Patrick Bateman as Marcus. He was like, what do you think of that guy? Because he brings up Evelyn, and then Paul Allen is like, Evelyn's engaged to that dork Patrick Bateman. Stuff about him that is, they all have it, like, they all are the same guy.
Yeah.
But that makes Patrick Bateman really mad. So they go back to his place, and he puts on Huey Lewis in the News. Paul Allen's super drunk. He is just ranting and raving about Huey Lewis in the News.
Willem Dafoe, when he's, like, packing up his bags and he's, like, leaving his office at one point, he was like, just pick this up. And it was Huey Lewis in the News. And he asked Patrick Bateman if he had ever listened to it. He's like, nope, never in my life. And he's like, oh, do you not like music? He's like, no, I like music. Well, why haven't you listened to this? And he's like, too black sounding.
I swear to God. So he's listening to Huey Lewis in the News. Paul Allen is like, oh, why are you putting on a weird raincoat? Because also the entire room is, like, already prepared to murder someone. Like, the floor is covered in newspaper. He has, like, coverings on all the furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Allen's like, do you have a dog or something? And then he
axes him. Yeah.
He axes him. Oh, that's whose body he's carrying out in front of. He carries him out in front of the bellhop. Lewis recognizes him, compliments the bag. He goes all the way to Paul Allen's house with the body, gets really upset. I had chills run through my body when I went into Paul Allen's apartment because I saw that the view was so good, it must be more expensive than mine. Then he leaves a message for Paul's, like, girlfriend or something. or I don't know, somebody saying that he's like going on an extended vacation, which I was like, why would you leave a why would you leave your voice on a recording if you just murdered someone?
Right.
Then he's at work. Detective Donald Kimball is here to see you, according to Gene. And
it's Willem Dafoe.
It's Willem Dafoe. But also what killed me is Patrick Bateman pretends to be on the phone when Willem Dafoe's coming in because he's, like, trying to look busy because he's, like, antsy and weird. But he chooses to be like, yeah, don't wear that shirt. He does, like, just a bunch of fashion advice to somebody on the phone.
Yeah.
That's his way of filling a phone call. And Willem Dafoe's like, did I interrupt him? Like, no. And then he, like, pushes a bunch of porn into a drawer that he had just on his desk. Oh, he's like, what do you think of Paul Allen? He's like, I think he was a closeted homosexual with a coke problem. Oh, also, so the detectives start asking him questions about Paul Allen, and he just knows fucking everything about this guy. He knows where he went to school, he knows everything about his personal life. Like, if he didn't murder him, and this was actually, like, an investigation, he should still be a suspect for something. He was so creepy about it.
Well, and I definitely did not see. He looks just like Christian Bale.
Yeah. You gotta watch Fight Club. You gotta. So eventually he's, like, pushing Detective Kimball out of his office, and he's like, I have a meeting with Cliff Huxtable. Like, everyone fucking knows who that is. Like, there's no way. I was like, if Willem Dafoe is a real, like, I didn't think he was not real, but I did have the thought of, like, he's not a real detective or something. Because he just, like, wasn't getting that. Like, any real person in this universe would react differently to the things he was saying.
Yeah.
So then they show him at home. He is doing crunches with his TV on. And on the TV, it's the final scene of Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Nice. And it's the screams of the girls while Leatherface is swinging, doing his Leatherface dance, swinging his chainsaw.
Yeah.
So I think he watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre and got ideas.
And went and got a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or fantasized about a chainsaw because he watched that movie.
Right.
He bribes a prostitute to come home with him. She's like, I'm not supposed to come home with you. I have rules. He says, who cares? Here's a bunch of money. She comes home with him. On top of, he also says,
it's gotta be the same girl.
He says, pretend your name is Christy. And also, he calls himself Paul Allen.
Oh, but he says, pretend your name to Christy is, he could say that to every escort.
Right. And so he's pretending to be Paul Allen. So in my head, I was like, taking on the identity of Paul Allen so that if this prostitute got grilled in court later, she could be like, oh, I met Paul Allen on this day after he died. That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Then he calls a second, like, escort, like, from an escort service, who's like, hey, send me a blonde escort and make it somebody good with couples. So he's going to pretend that he's in a couple with the first prostitute.
Uh-huh.
Sex worker. Is prostitute a bad word? I don't think it depends on context, maybe.
Right. I feel like some people just call themselves prostitute.
I think I've heard people call themselves that. Anyways, no disrespect to the profession, regardless.
I think people are just over. Because people, if you're not using it as, like, a, you're a prostitute, you're a bad person.
Right, that's not what I mean. I mean, this is a woman whose job was sex, and she got paid for it. So the second sex worker comes to the door. He's mad because she's not quite blonde. He's trying to be flashy about, like, all his work on Wall Street. He tells her to call herself Elizabeth. He's so annoying. They literally do not care. He's like, it seems like you don't care about what I do for work. And they kind of look at each other and look at him. And they both know each other are prostitutes.
Yeah.
They probably fucking knew each other before the call.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we, like, actually don't. And then he puts on Phil Collins and starts over-explaining Phil Collins and Genesis, which scares me because I'm like, that means he's going to kill them.
Yeah.
But instead, he sets up a camera and has a threesome.
Okay.
He gets mad, too, because he's, like, seamlessly talking about Phil Collins, and then he'll be like, put your ass up! Like, what are you... But then he'll, like, go straight back to being like, and that's when Genesis, blah, blah, blah. And he's, like, setting up a camera the whole time. Cut to later on in the night, they're all laying there as if they're asleep, but one of them, like, rolls over onto his watch, and he's like, don't touch my watch. And the other one's like, can we leave now? Like, are we done? And so he pays both, and they both leave. So I was like, okay, so yes, he was literally building an alibi or something. Like, he wasn't going to kill these ones. He needed these ones to go say they slept with Paul Allen. Back at the bar, with all the, like, same douchebags who were saying anti-Semitic stuff, he was like, a girl can be ugly as long as she's got a good personality. And then they all laugh, and they're like, in unison, they're like, but there are no girls with a good personality. And then Patrick Bateman's like, you know what Ed Gein said? And they're like, who is Ed Gein? And he's like, Ed Gein. Yeah, the serial killer. He said one part of him always wanted to take girls out, like, on a date when he saw them, and the other part wanted to see their head on a stick. And then he's the only one who laughs. Mm-hmm. Then Lewis has gotten a new business card. He pulls that out. He shows Patrick Bateman his new business card. And Patrick Bateman freaks out and storms off and goes to the bathroom. And then I think you saw him kill Lewis over his business card or something.
He didn't kill Lewis.
He got mad at him.
Yeah, he got mad at him. And then Lewis, like, hit on him.
Okay, yeah. Lewis, because he's always saying gay shit. He's saying, like, gay shit.
Lewis looks like the page boy from 30 Rock.
Kenneth?
Yeah.
He kind of does.
But yeah, he doesn't kill him.
But yeah, he storms off because Lewis has a better business card. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's just a movie making fun of Wall Street, guys.
Yeah, I think so.
The person I know who really likes American Psycho also really likes Fight Club. Because it's similarly making fun of masculinity. But the problem with both of those movies is that men who are actually just obsessed with masculinity also sometimes like them.
Yeah. I looked it up. The ending is specifically ambiguous.
Because it is, I think a Wall Street guy could, like, get away with most of that.
Right. And it's just like, nobody's ever going to know. Most people think none of it was real, but...
Well, also
it could be real.
It could be that, like, the ending stuff isn't real, but he did go kill a homeless person.
Oh, also, when he was confessing everything, he said, "I ate someone's brains."
I don't know if I realized that was happening, if that did happen in my head.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to... I forgot about it. I was waiting for you to say it, and then...
Yeah, I didn't make that note, but also, I was having kind of a hard time keeping up with it, because I kept getting distracted by details.
Nina.
But, yeah, it sounds like this guy might just hate himself for possibly being gay or not. He wants to fit in more than anything.
Yeah, with the Lewis thing, that was, like, the only gay moment. And then I was like, oh, he is gay. And then after that, it was pretty much just, like... Also, we didn't have any, like, fashion talk. My half was just...
It was just murdery.
Murder and, like, fucking women.
Right. Well, because I also...
And Willem Dafoe.
It's also possible that he's not gay, but in the year 2000, to take that good care of your skin and stuff,
yeah.
Like, he got it in his head based on the media that it would be gay to do that, and then he has to overcompensate by, like,
right.
having sex with women all the time. It's a commentary. Well, this also came out at the same time as Fight Club. Big year for Jared Leto.
Yeah, apparently. He really was an actor before 30 Seconds to Mars, huh?
He really was. Also, I don't like Jared Leto. I think he's done. We shouldn't give him any more roles. Mm-hmm. In the years 1999 and 2000, he had just come off of My So-Called Life, which is the one thing that is okay. So I get why in 99 and 2000, people still wanted him in their movies.
But in 2024?
Frankly, 30 Seconds to Mars should have ended his acting career. I feel like that made it clear that he was not...
Yeah.
Gonna... He's... Just, he's done. He's done. I would like to cancel him, personally. Seems like a good movie.
Yeah.
I am glad that I was pushed to watch it, finally.
Oh my gosh. This is so funny. The release date was April 14th, 2000. That was like 3 days ago.
Oh, wow.
4 days ago. Oh, today was the day Paul Revere rode his horse.
The 18th?
Mm-hmm.
It's Do you know that off the top of your head?
It's my brother's birthday.
Oh, I was like, cool. And?
Also, is Christian Bale okay? Is he just a good actor?
He can certainly tap into a deranged thing.
Yeah.
He certainly is capable of that. Because he's also... I haven't seen that Batman in a while, but that was like a dark Batman.
Yeah.
I know they all kind of are, but like, he did that.
Yeah.
Darkly.
Well, the reason I wanted to watch it was because last year... the Paramore album that came out, there was a song where they referenced it, and a lot of their, like, music videos and, like, art for it referenced the movie, but I didn't really know what it was about.
I see.
I just knew he probably killed a girl.
Uh-huh.
At least one. Oh, there's American Psycho 2.
No way, that's good.
Oh, yeah, whatever it is looks really bad. The film experienced a revival of popular interest in the 2020s due to its strong presence in the contemporary meme culture. Centered around Bateman's perceived Sigma male personality.
Wow, the top billed cast kind of sucks. We should change it.
Who's the top billed?
It's Christian Bale, the guy who plays Bryce, and the guy who plays McDermott.
Who?
Exactly. So I think we should do Fuck, Marry, Kill, Christian Bale as Patrick Bateman, Reese Witherspoon as Evelyn, mm-hmm. and Jared Leto or Willem Dafoe. Willem Dafoe, because we're going to kill Jared Leto. I didn't even see.
Yeah, and we're both. Yeah, you're right. But Willem Dafoe is up in the air.
So Christian Bale as Patrick Bateman, Reese Witherspoon as Evelyn, and Willem Dafoe as Detective Donald Kimball.
That name sounds made up.
It does. It does make more sense that... Have you ever imagined, like, if you're going to get in trouble, like, what your boss or whoever would say to you? Like, it kind of felt like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would I answer this question if someone came to me about it?
Yeah.
Because he did not make sense talking to him.
No, he didn't make any sense. And he's like, well, it's not like a friend would kill him, right? That'd be crazy.
Right, like, if he was actually somebody being investigated for murder, it would be obvious in 5 seconds that he did it. I'm going to kill Patrick Bateman, marry Reese Witherspoon, fuck Willem Dafoe.
Same.
I'm not trying to get murdered.
Yeah. I'm also not trying to kill Willem Dafoe. He's in too many movies. No, I agree.
Good movie, though. I do plan on watching it. Become a patron. Also. If you're not already.
Well, Willem Dafoe somehow has 8 upcoming movies.
How is that... Okay. Are we done?
Yeah.
Great.